here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hi, today is Friday, July 14th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world. Actually, quick note, so I was at the doctor's office a few days ago, and I had to reschedule, like, make a new appointment for a few months from now. She was like, hey, it's going to be on October Friday the 13th, and I was like, no.
Bad luck.
Bad luck. No, not going to the doctor on Friday the 13th.
Well, we were very close to Friday the 13th this time around.
I know.
So we obviously have a focus on the investment and financial world, as you said. Of course, can't not mention one of the biggest stories in the news cycle this week. Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Kremlin-connected Russian lawyer during the 2016 campaign. Don't know if you've heard of this yet, or maybe if you've been living under a rock this week. So basically, he was promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton. He met with this Kremlin-connected lawyer, was also attended by, at the time, campaign chairman Paul Manafort, another name you may have heard, and then America's first son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Yes. So, also,
all the drama this
finally
week.
Heard his voice like a month ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was also breaking news.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of Voldemort. I don't know. That's just me.
Oh, Tom Riddle. before he was Voldemort. Yeah, so the New York Times first reported this story, this absurd story, last weekend. It, like, popped up on my Facebook news feed, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't really, you know, pay attention to it at
There's
first.
There's three of these a day.
Pretty much.
These days, I was like, so I can't to keep track.
Pretty much whatever at first. And then it just kind of started snowballing. And it got worse and worse and worse. And I was like, okay, now I can't, like, ignore it. Uh-huh. So I actually had to read about it. But then once it got, like, too big to ignore, everyone was covering it.
And then all hell broke loose.
Don Jr. on his own tweeted out the entire email chain regarding the meeting. And just, like, he was like, quote unquote, to be totally transparent. Like, I want to do this. Here's literally all of the receipts.
Uh-huh.
This is what I did. And everyone is like, why are you so stupid?
Yeah, it was a bad...
And then the New York Times reporters are like, we just spent a year trying to put this story together and you just...
Kind of put it on Twitter.
Yeah. You just did
Not
that.
Not kind of, totally put it
totally
on Twitter.
Totally put it on Twitter.
So this kind of breaking throughout the week, and on Thursday, President Trump defended his son. I think high quality person was the phrase that he used. And he also said, quote, it's called opposition research, end quote, at a joint news conference with doing this alongside French President Emmanuel Macron. So, yeah, kind of an interesting spot for it. But he added also, quote, politics is not the nicest business in the world, end quote. And you can say
Captain
that
Obvious.
Again. That is very true, Mr. President.
I think that, yeah, that was also Donald Jr.'s defense as well.
Yeah.
It's called opposition research.
Yes, definitely. It definitely a thing that happened and a thing that does happen up to a bunch of highly skilled attorneys and prosecutors to determine whether this means
Was
any laws were
collusion.
Broken. Yeah. But can't keep us down this week. We have too much amazing stuff going on for
Fun
all this
stuff.
Negative
Fun
politics.
Stuff.
It was a national holiday this week.
Pretty much. Prime Day. this week marked Amazon's third annual Prime Day. Huge shopping event. Huge shopping extravaganza. So on Wednesday, pretty much after the fact, shares of Amazon. So backtrack. Prime
Getting
Day.
Getting ahead of yourself here, yes.
Yes. Prime Day was July 11th.
Uh-huh.
Just insane. So I went on Amazon.com, looked at these deals. Deals were... It's just so random.
Mm-hmm.
Did you buy anything?
I did not personally get anything, no. But there will be things in my apartment now that
yes.
are part of the Prime
So
Day.
Sales started like early July 10th, like around...
It was actually Prime 30 hours.
Prime 30 hours. So if you had an Amazon device, you could like get deals 2 hours before they started at 9 p.m. Eastern, July 10th. I got something for someone's birthday, July 10th. I don't know if they're listening. I doubt it, but I don't want to give anything away. Uh-huh. So I got something July 10th, like right away. I was like kind of afraid it was going to sell out. It didn't. There's really no reason to be afraid that it would. But then, so I went back July 11th, looked at the deals. Really nothing I would ever need, but I wanted to look
That's
anyway.
What I'm saying, yeah.
My friend Lauren was texting me. She was like, look at all the random stuff I bought. Water bottles, spoons, a kayak, like all the stuff. I'm like, wow, you just went all out. So then Prime Day is over. Yeah. Wednesday, Amazon shares.
You have post Prime Day sadness, of course. Right? It's like the day after Christmas.
Pretty much. Yeah. Amazon shares are back above $1,000 thanks to this shopping event. Though on Thursday they were back below
still straddling the line.
Yeah,
yes.
they have been really mm-hmm. since they reached that milestone, I think back in May.
Mm-hmm.
But overall Amazon Prime Day huge success. Sales were growing by sales grew by over 60% from last year's Prime Day. And Prime Day this year was Amazon's quote-unquote biggest day ever, though they did say that about Prime Day last year.
Keeps getting bigger.
I think they'll probably say that about every Prime Day from now on. Mm. I don't know how that's possible. But sales surpassed its 2016 Black Friday and Cyber Monday results. Amazon said tens of millions of Prime members purchased items during the 30-hour time span, which represented a 50% increase from Prime Day 2016. Now, I don't know if Amazon commented on if this was because it was 30 hours, because I know last year it was
tricky.
Only 24.
Oh, that's where they get you, those 6 extra hours.
But it also added more new Prime members on July 11th than any other day in the company's history. An Echo Dot, which is the mini Alexa-enabled smart speaker, was the most sold product during Prime Day, and the device helped the company achieve its huge sales numbers this year, and the Dot was on sale for $34.99.
Yeah, you could get a little Alexa device in your home for less
than
40
bucks. Now, I wonder
bucks.
How many people bought multiple Alexa Dots, because I feel like that's like the purpose of them is to have one in like each room.
Yeah, definitely that, or, you know, if you're already Echo user, regular Echo, you get the Dot for your smaller rooms. You know? So you get the network of Echoes throughout your home.
And the original Echo was on sale for only $90.
Yeah, very, very cheap. Already, you know, with these sales, already we've discussed the Google Home on the show,
yes.
which is a slightly lower price point than the Echo normally is. But of course, we also talked about Apple's smart speaker.
Is that coming out this fall?
Yeah, soon to be out, and very expensive compared to that.
Very expensive.
You know, and as we mentioned on the show, supposedly going to sound much better than the Echo and the Google Home. They took kind of a music first approach to it. But to me, if you want that kind of cool in-home interaction of speaking to your smart speaker and that, hey, do this thing for me, this home automation device, I don't know, first of all, that you even care about the sound quality. And second of all, I don't know how any sound quality is going to justify, you know, when it's on sale for 90 bucks-ish, you know, you're talking about 4 times the price for an Apple one, 5 times the price. Yeah, it's confusing to me because as a music fan, I'm thinking, first of all, I think the Echoes sound fine for portable speakers, not even portable speakers, but for a speaker that size.
Yeah.
And then honestly, if you're an audiophile and you really care about sound quality, are you going to get the Apple smart speaker anyway, or are you just gonna splurge on like a $1,500 pair of like bookshelf speakers that actually sound really, really, really good? So I don't know how I shifted this conversation about Prime Day into critiquing Apple's decision on the smart speaker, but
I have the mini Bose Sound Link that goes for like $129.99. One of the best things I've ever gotten as a gift. Mm-hmm. It sounds incredible. And I know, I don't know if I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking about this either, but.
Well, we were talking about speakers. So it makes sense.
Yeah. It's Bluetooth, hooks up to my phone. It's phenomenal.
But it doesn't have Alexa.
It doesn't have Alexa. It won't have Siri. Mm-hmm. But I don't really care about those things yet.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. To each their own. And obviously, clearly, a bunch of people jumping at the opportunity to get Alexa in their homes with the hockey puck-sized Echo Dot on Prime Day. It was a good deal, I have to say. Moving on, however, before we talk about every available smart speaker that there is. Emmy nominations came out on Thursday, and you know, for our listeners, you're probably going, Emmy nominations.
This isn't a pop culture show. I wish.
Even though we make it a pop culture show. Pretty relevant to a lot of the companies we've already talked about today, and some of our other favorite publicly traded companies out on Wall Street. It is the 69th annual Emmy Awards. As I said, nominations were announced on Thursday. HBO's Westworld and NBC's Saturday Night Live tied for the most nominated shows of 2017 at 22 each of the major nominations. Time Warner's premium cable network, HBO, obviously once again garnered the most nominations. These are the total nominations with 110.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big number. So there was a ton of recognition for Big Little Lies, Veep. Love that show.
One of my favorites.
The Night Of, which is really good.
Yep. Really depressing.
And of course...
I just watched it. Just got on that bandwagon. It was really sad.
And of course, Westworld, which was kind of a cultural phenomenon for a second there.
I'm definitely going... I'm already planning on rewatching that before the second season comes out next year. It was very confusing, but really good.
Game of Thrones... was kind of out of the running this year because of the premiere date. But that's on Sunday, so
it premieres on Sunday.
That's exciting. OMG. I like Sunday. I'm excited about Sunday. But yeah, kind of getting into our, you know, popular, our kind of shows we touch on a lot here on the Finish Line, or companies that we touch on a lot. Sorry, streaming giant Netflix. With a resounding 91 nominations. Of course, I should mention a lot of these are in like
production
design in a 1 hour drama series. So it's not like the ones that get on TV, but they have like hundreds of actual.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Categories. And people only talk about, you know, your best actor, your best whatever, but these are important categories as well. So 91 nominations this year. This was compared to 54 last year, and they took home 9 wins last year. Original content, obviously, like The Crown, House of Cards.
Solid show.
Stranger Things.
Really good.
All nominated for Outstanding Drama Series, while Master of None and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt were nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series.
Only watched the first season of both shows. Pretty good.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And Aziz Ansari is nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy Series.
He's on a hot streak, let me tell you that much. Amazon received a modest 16 nominations this year, same as it tallied last year. Stars of its original hit show, Transparent, Jeffrey Tambor, Catherine Hahn, also nominated. And then the late Carrie Fisher was nominated for her guest role in the comedy Catastrophe.
I've heard that's a really good show. I have not watched it. I don't watch any shows on Amazon.
Well, don't let Jeff Bezos hear that.
I know. Sorry, Jeff. I know that. I need to watch Transparent. It's so good.
So Transparent notched, you know, Amazon's 3 major nominations for Jeffrey Tambor for Best Actor, as I mentioned. They also got a couple of nods for Supporting Actress in a Comedy. Snubbed for Best Comedy Series nomination, which it had previously totaled 2 of. I also want to mention with Transparent, the first show produced by a streaming company to receive a Golden Globe for Best Series. So already kind of tallied some major wins there.
Definitely.
For Amazon. Hulu, big surprise here, they received 18 total nominations. This was up from just 2 last year. And the majority of these nominations are coming from kind of breakout sensation show, The Handmaid's Tale, which got 12 different nominations.
It's really good.
That show is nominated for Outstanding Drama and stars Elizabeth Moss, Anne Dowd, and Samira Wiley.
Who's also on Orange is the New Black.
Okay, good to note. We're nominated for acting, so she's crossing over between multiple
and Elizabeth
streaming
Moss
companies.
Original production. Of Mad Men fame.
The Emmy Awards will be presented on September 17th. And this year they will be hosted by Stephen Colbert, who is also nominated himself. How do you do that if you're hosting? Do you just go out and kind of give the award to yourself if you win?
Yeah, you accept it if you win.
Interesting. I guess why I wanted to touch on Emmy nominations this week, not just because of all the amazing shows that we love, but because Netflix, Amazon, Hulu.
Well, especially Hulu with The Handmaid's Tale. They had a ton of other good shows premiere, not necessarily be nominated, but I think it's a step in the right direction for Hulu. I think going forward, if they can have a show like Handmaid's Tale, not only get the critical reception that it got, but I mean,
popularity awards.
And get the awards reception. I mean, the awards nomination. I mean,
yeah. So, I think these awards are very important for these streaming companies because it adds legitimacy to what they're doing, which is
absolutely
kind of really threatening the traditional producing or the traditional producers of these TV shows. Obviously we've spoken ad nauseum about how they've revolutionized the entertainment industry and the TV industry. To some extent it is also, I would imagine, for these companies rewarding to be getting the kind of, recognition from these award shows that, their fans think they deserve. So it's not just quantity, it's also quality.
Yeah. And I will say this is a big year for NBC. And their show This Is Us, nominated for Outstanding Drama Series. Milo Ventimiglia.
Good effort.
how do you pronounce that?
I'm not even going to try.
Nominated for Best Actor in a Drama Series. Chrissy Metz was, I think, nominated for Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. It's a huge, huge win for NBC. I think they were also the TV network with the most nominations. So out of ABC, CBS, all like the traditional
channels.
TV networks. Yeah.
Cool, cool. Shifting gears a little bit, not a ton actually though, because we've been talking about Netflix already. Kind of in our last story for this week, a little Netflix earnings preview. Netflix earnings, Q2 earnings
season
coming.
Again.
It is. Welcome back. We are just getting into the start, the front end of earnings season. Obviously, you get your early reporters out of the way. But Netflix coming up next week, and we thought we'd give you guys a little preview of it.
Yes. So they're set to report its second quarter 2017 results on July 17th after the bell. So you're right, it's Monday. So last quarter, the company delivered a positive earnings surprise of 5.26%, and overall, the company has an average earnings beat of 117.66%. Zacks expects Netflix to report earnings of 16 cents per share, and this represents year-over-year growth of 73.61%. Total revenues, including DVD, are projected to come in at $2.76 billion, reflecting growth of about 31% compared to the prior year period. So Netflix's original content is strong, as you can
tell from the
As
Emmy
you can
nominations.
Tell from the Emmy yeah. nominations. Plus its new original series Glow, which is on my watch list. It's about female wrestling in the 80s.
Love
which
it.
Looks phenomenal.
Big wrestling.
That's getting positive reviews. But the movie War Machine, I think, which was one of its like highly anticipated original movies to come out. It's a film with Brad Pitt. I'm not really sure the plot line. It didn't really generate the best critical response, and I know they put a lot of money into it, so it's kind of, I feel like they took a loss on that. But management is looking to add about 637,000 subscribers in the domestic streaming segment and around 2.6 million subscribers in the international segment. So
important.
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 And I think Netflix did not meet subscriber numbers last quarter.
Well, so, I guess this is harping back to, you know, we covered the story in April when Netflix reported and kind of management after the fact was kind of purposely trying to shift the conversation away from subscriber numbers and onto things like improvements in margins, because, you know, that international expansion that was such a big deal a year or 2 years ago is kind of over. Mm-hmm. And now kind of looking for subscriber growth to start plateauing and for improvements to be made elsewhere. I will say, though, with these net additions to these streaming subscriber counts, we are looking for Netflix to hit a little over 102 million total subscribers. At the end of last quarter, as you were starting to mention there, a lot of people really amped up for the 100 million subscriber celebration. And then the quarterly, by the end of the last quarter, was more in the 99 million region. I believe Netflix CEO Reed Hastings at the end of April did make an announcement saying that they had indeed hit the 100 million, the triple digits. So definitely over that threshold, and now just looking to see how big they will get. But yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the original content, because now, you know, you the original content is, if we're talking about a company that's no longer as concerned with adding subscribers, we have to worry about retaining subscribers, right?
Sure.
So your original content has to be compelling enough to keep people sticking around, especially when you have companies like Amazon, companies like Hulu, pouring more and more money into their original programming and, you know, seeing some success, at least to some extent, as we're seeing from these Emmy nominations as well. So I think it's a pivotal quarter for Netflix, but I think they all are at this point. So
yeah, and Netflix is number two behind the Zacks rank. So we'll see how that fluctuates.
Definitely. It'll be interesting
after
to see.
They report earnings.
Yeah. And we should probably note, too, with that, the guidance is also going to be a really big deal.
Yes.
It's probably the number one thing that we've seen drive short-term price action immediately following earnings reports over the past year or so, over the past several years, a much, much bigger emphasis on guidance than we'd seen in the past. But yeah, that'll also be interesting to look out for. And any kind of, personally, I'm interested in hearing about any kind of updates to the strategy that they had laid out last quarter of, okay, now we're focusing on improving margins, you know, improving quality of content, things like that. So excited to see what management has to say in the report and on the conference call.
Agreed.
And that's, when did you say? July 17th? That's Monday?
That's Monday.
Good way to start the week, for sure.
All right.
Yeah,
I
think that definitely just about does it for us this week. We will see you guys next week for the probably the conclusion of these Netflix earnings.
Yes.
I'm sure we will be discussing. And as always, if you feel we missed something or if you would like us to cover a different story, feel free to email us at podcast@zacks.com, and definitely take a look at all of our other audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on Zach's Friday Finish Line.